From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his fourth message in a series devoted to the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. In chapter 9, the book of Acts gives us an account of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus from a bitter persecutor of Christians to a flaming evangelist for the Lord Jesus Christ. The biblical record contains certain statements about Saul that demonstrate clearly that he had been truly born again. And what was true of Saul of Tarsus is also true of every person who comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. First, he recognized Christ as Lord. Then, even in earliest days of his conversion, he prayed. As soon as his sight was restored, Saul began to preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So the third mark of a true believer is public identification with Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called Evidences of True Conversion. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Drawing Near to God. The text is James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. The nearer we come to God, the more graciously will He reveal Himself to us. When the prodigal comes to his father runs to meet him. When the wandering dove returns to the ark, Noah puts out his hand to pull her in unto him. When the tender wife seeks her husband's society, he comes to her on wings of love. Come then, dear friend, let us draw nigh to God who so graciously awaits us, yea, comes to meet us. Did you ever notice that passage in Isaiah 58, verse 9? There the Lord seems to put himself at the disposal of his people, saying to them, Here I am, as much as to say, What have you to say to me? What can I do for you? I am waiting to bless you. How can we hesitate to draw near? God is nigh to forgive, to bless, to comfort, to help, to quicken, to deliver. Let it be the main point with us to get near to God. This done, all is done. If we draw near to others, they may before long grow weary of us and leave us. But if we seek the Lord alone, no change will come over his mind, but he will continue to come nearer and yet nearer to us by fuller and more joyful fellowship.
Thank you.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Disciple. The Lord stopped him, and he proved to Ananias that Saul was genuinely converted. How? Because he said, look at him. Behold, he prayed. The mark of genuine conversion. When a person can live his life without prayer, then either that person has never been sealed or is very far backslidden. And the vast majority of cases come under the first of those two alternatives. You, if you're sealed, can no more live without prayer than you can live physically without breathing. A Christian may at times find it hard to pray. He may find his emotions getting in the way of his prayer. He may find the circumstances of life crowding in upon his prayers. He may find many distractions. The devil may put many barricades along the way. He may not be satisfied with the level of devotion in his prayer life, but yet in his heart he can't give up praying. The mark of a genuinely converted man is he prayeth. Why is that? Romans 8:15 gives you the answer. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He prayeth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is within him. The indwelling Spirit of God prompts a Christian to cry to his Father. The indwelling Spirit of God, no matter how puny and weak your faith, no matter how up and down your experience, the indwelling Spirit of God drives the Christian to his knees. There is brought forth from the depths of a Christian's being, even when he cannot fashion great requests, there is this basic cry of the child to his Father, Father in heaven, Abba Father, we must pray. Impossible. Impossible. For Christians not to pray. Yet, how many, many people say glibly, oh, I am seeing. I am seeing. And without conscience, they can go from week to week and month to month. They never pray. I know a preacher in Ireland who prided himself on his great intellect, the depth of his learning. He felt there wasn't another preacher in Ireland could expound the scriptures as he expounded the scriptures. But yet he could confess that he hadn't prayed in months. I don't believe the man was ever a Christian. I don't care how much theology he knew. While he certainly wasn't 100th part of the preacher he thought he was, I wouldn't care if he was 100 times greater preacher than even he gave himself credit for. And a man can, without conviction, without tears, without guilt, glibly say, I haven't prayed in months. He's up preaching every week. Man's deluded. He's not a Christian. Because it is God who says, this is the proof of salvation. Behold, he prays. Now I want to ask you tonight, can you happily live your life without communion with God? Can you happily go through your life without prayer And it's only when you get into trouble you suddenly remember there's a God in heaven and you cry, "Oh God, help me." And as for the rest of the time, you time for everything under the sun and desire for many, but you've neither time nor interest to pray. My friend, listen very carefully. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. You sound perilously like someone who is still in his sin. The third evidence in this record of Saul's genuine conversion is a public identification with Christ. We find in verse 18 that the scales fell from off his eyes, he received his sight, he arose, and was baptized. Now, baptism was not merely joining the local independent fundamental Baptist church, no matter what anybody tells you. That was not what it was all about. Baptism was a matter many times of life and death. Baptism was standing out publicly, and it was saying, "Here I stand. I name the name of Jesus Christ. I plead no Savior but Jesus Christ. I acknowledge no Lord but Jesus Christ. I serve no Master but Jesus Christ. I have no gospel but Jesus Christ." This was the testimony. It was a public identification on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful evidence of the reality of the change in Saul of Tarsus. He had come to Damascus, an avowed enemy. Now he stands forth an avowed disciple. Now I realize that not everyone is of the same temperament. And I think preachers do disservice to the Lord and to their congregations when they try to make everyone to be of the same temperament. But having said that, it is nonetheless a matter of great significance and indeed a matter to cause us to fear. When there are people who say, "Oh yes, I'm a Christian, but I don't want anybody to know about it. Yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm a secret disciple." I once heard of a preacher. One of his congregations spoke to me. They had been listening to this man for many years. They said, "We hope came to me for some spiritual help." Couldn't go to their own preacher. And they said, "We hope that he's a Christian. We can't be quite sure." If you've listened to this preacher or any other preacher for 10 years and you're not sure yet whether he's saved, I think it's time you got a new preacher. But there are people, and they're supposed to be saved. And you could live with them, you could be in their company, watch them under all sorts of circumstances, and you would never know. I've often said, and some of you have heard me say it before, but I'll repeat it. When I went out into business for a couple of years before coming into study for the ministry, I found one Christian. Well, I knew my boss was a Christian, but in the office staff, I found one Christian. among all those people. Now, had I been told up front, there is one Christian here, please pick out that Christian, just by the way they did their work, by their general demeanor, I would have had a hard job, but one person that I would have picked would have been a little girl who was a Roman Catholic and knew nothing whatsoever about the gospel. Sitting right opposite her, behind her typewriter, there was a girl who knew the gospel. She was a member of the Plymouth Brethren. She broke bread in the Brethren Assembly every Sabbath morning. I would never have known that she was saved. When I started to witness for Christ in that office, when I started to take a stand for the gospel, which God did bless to the salvation of one soul, to the conviction of others, and certainly to raising a testimony for God in what was becoming a more and more ungodly environment. When I started to do that, then the Christian came out. She'd been sitting for years beside these other people. No one ever knew. I'm not her judge, but I'm saying this. But one of the great marks of true conversion is that you're willing to be identified with Christ. Did not the Lord Jesus say, "Whosoever shall confess me before man, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven"? Did he not go on to say that if you deny me, if you're ashamed of me before man, then of you I will be ashamed before God? What is there about Christ that we should be ashamed of? Those who have a real knowledge of Christ confess Him as Lord. They pray and they publicly, plainly, unapologetically identify themselves with Him. Now, I can well understand that many a young Christian is intimidated into silence because he thinks, I don't have the answer. When people come to me with questions, I can't give an answer. I've often said to you, don't be intimidated into not witnessing because you don't have the answers. Listen, your answers will never convert a soul. Give them your testimony. And I want to tell you, when you do that, God will use that to the saving of souls, even when you don't have the answer. But the mark of conversion is public identification with Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.